Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends, when I was younger, I did not like being told what to do. I did it especially when I was a teenager, because at that age, freedom is so important. You're on the cusp of adulthood, you're figuring out who you are as a person, and you, if you're anything like me, don't want anybody telling you what to do. Now that didn't fly with my parents. They were completely comfortable telling me what to do, and I hated it. You know, and they never asked me to do big things. It was always something completely reasonable, like, please take your brother to school this morning. And I would just, ugh. Which is a completely silly reaction, especially since his school was right next door to mine. It took 5 extra minutes, 3 minutes if I didn't come to a complete stop. But even though they were asking me to do completely reasonable things, I still hated it. I hated it because it was something I had to do, not something I wanted to do or something I chose to do. You know, it made me feel like I didn't have any freedom, like I was a slave. And we all know that's silly. You know, and looking back, I can see that I was not a slave in my own family. You know, they loved me very much and they didn't ask me to do a whole lot of big things. But that doesn't change how I felt at the time. Because all those things I had to do, mow the lawn and take my brother to school and do the dishes, it made me feel like I was poor Cinderella, like I was a slave. And even though I was surrounded by people who loved me very, very much, I mean, I had lost track of who I was in the family. And in a similar way to teenage Vicar Dollar, the Galatians from our passage reading had lost track of who they were in the family, in God's family. You see, this whole book of Galatians is Paul's letter to this group of people, this little church that he started. He went out there, he preached the gospel, he told them that everyone who believed in Jesus would be saved. I mean, pretty good news. And the Galatians thought so too. And so they believed and they were baptized, and this little infant church was born. But it didn't take long for things to start going wrong. Because you see, their focus, the Galatians' focus, shifted. They started looking in a different direction. When Paul first came to them, it was all about what God had done for them in Christ. But after Paul had left, it all became about what they had to do. You see, what happened was the good news that Jesus had come to save them. This news, this gospel that Paul had brought, was replaced instead by a laundry list of things they had to do to stay in God's good graces. You see, they had to all be circumcised. They had to all fast. They had to do certain things on certain days of the week. They had to eat certain foods, and they had to stay away from other foods. And all these things, these things they had to do to stay part of God's family. Or at least so they thought. And just like me, they had lost track of who they were in the family. You know, even though they were dearly loved children of the Heavenly Father, they thought they had to earn their way to get a place at the table. And Paul saw that, and he knew that wasn't the gospel that he preached to them, so he called them out. He said, "You Galatians, you aren't acting like the children of God. You all are acting like slaves." Because when it comes to a slave, only one thing matters. It's not the name. It's not what they want to do. It's not even their hopes and dreams. The only thing that matters when it comes to a slave is getting the job done. A free person can always I don't know, look at a job, decide they don't want to do it, and walk away. But a slave is stuck. They have to do it. The only thing that matters is that they get the job done. Things are pretty different for a child of the family. You see, what matters for a child of the family isn't what they do, but it's who they are. I mean, we've all seen it in our own families. You know, the kids, they mess up. You know, they make a mess of things. They throw a tantrum. Or they can even do some really terrible things. But they're still part of the family. They're still loved. And when it comes to God's family, you can be one or the other. You can't be both a slave and a child. It doesn't work that way. That's not how God runs his family. Only one thing can matter. Either what you do matters, or who you are matters. You see, God isn't in the habit of enslaving his children. He didn't send Jesus out into the world to conquer the world, but to free the world. And looking back at my own life, I recognize that I don't always live like a free child of God. You know, I live like a slave more often than not, complain about what I have to do in bigger ways than just complaining about, you know, taking my brother to school. You know, because we live in a world that tells us the only thing that matters is what we do. It's getting the job done. Hopes, dreams, name, doesn't matter. Only as long as you're qualified, you get the job done. What you produce, what service you provide. I mean, after all, America was built on those principles. And it's true. Because when I was a child, I was told that's just how the world is. That's what's called the real world. And the real world doesn't really care about you. In fact, the world only cares about what you can do for it, about what services you can provide for it. I mean, sure, it'll pay you as long as you earn it. It'll give you a warm bed to sleep in at night as long as you deserve it. It'll even make you rich, as long as you're willing to fight for it. But as soon as you get sick, hurt, you run out of money, or you reach a certain age, the real world stops caring. Because there's nothing else you can do for it. There's nothing else it can get from you. And it can be easy for those of us who spend our entire lives earning and doing and producing and serving to think that we've got to do something to deserve a place at God's table, to be part of God's family. You know, after all, everything we've ever heard has always told us that what matters is what we do. That defines us as a person. So when God comes in and says something different, when he says what matters is what he has done, well, that's a huge difference. And it's not always an easy thing to believe. You see, we are not slaves. That's what Paul told the Galatians, and that's what I'm telling you this morning, is that we don't have to earn our place in God's family. We can't do that. It would be like a baby earning its right to be born. It's just impossible. Not how things work. It's completely free. It's a gift. And in a world that constantly tells us to do this or that, to earn and to deserve, I mean, in a world where there's no such thing as a free lunch, it's not easy to believe in a gift. It's not easy to live like we're not a slave. There's this really beautiful story written by C.S. Lewis, the same guy who did the Chronicles of Narnia. It's just a short couple lines long, and It's called Sixpence, None the Richer. And he wrote it out to kind of describe what life as a child of God looks like. And in this story, a daughter goes to her father to ask for a sixpence. It's a tiny amount of British money. It's like a quarter. And she goes over to her father and she asks him for a sixpence, this quarter, so that she can go buy him a gift. And so the father gives her the money and she runs off to the store to go buy him a gift, a piece of candy or something like that. And when she comes back, she gives it to him. And the father loves it. Now, we all know the father doesn't love the gift because the gift is so great and amazing. You know, we know that the daughter hasn't done something that the father couldn't do by himself. You know, he paid for it after all. He is sixpence, none the richer. But the gift still matters. Not because he loves the gift so much, but because he loves the daughter. See, that's what doing looks like in God's family. It's rooted in love, not in obligation or duty or responsibility, but love. It starts from the top. God loved us, and so he brought us into his family. And we love the Heavenly Father, so we're able to respond with our own gifts, not because he needs it, and not to earn a place at the table, but because he has already loved us. Now, I've matured a little bit since my teenage years, believe it or not. And so now when I go home, I look for maybe something little I can do to help out around the house, do the dishes or run to the store or do an errand. You know, and it's not because I love doing the dishes so much. I really don't. But I love my parents. And I want to do something to help them out. I want to do it. I know I'm not a slave. You know, I know I don't have to do it. But that's what a child of the family does. And you are a child of God's family. That's what God says about you. That's who he has made you. You are not a slave. You don't have to earn your place. You don't have to prove your worth. You don't have to do that any more than a baby has to earn to be born. But what we can do as God's children is live like a child of the family. To take the gifts that God has given us and respond with our own, not because he needs it, not because we have to prove our worth, but because that's what a child of the family does. And you are God's child. Dear friends, please pray with me about that. Lord, you are our Heavenly Father. You have given us an amazing love. And as we look to a world that tells us that what matters is what we do, you know, that the value of a person is rooted in what they can accomplish, let us rest in what you have done for us. Lord, help us to live like your children, seeing the value of people not in what they do, but in what you have made them to be. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.